The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the first of hopefully many podcasts that we do here and over the course of this year and future years. I think for us, this is, and for me, a different way to kind of tell stories here and tell stories about the Giants and really allow players to tell their stories too. You know, you get limited sometimes in what you can do when you write a story or what you can do on TV. There is a time limit, but here I think we have an opportunity to give guys 25 or 30 minutes and really get into some of the important things like walk-up music, as we'll talk about today with Brandon Crawford. So I hope this goes well, and I hope everybody enjoys it and you guys stick around and download the future podcasts we have, because I do have some very good guests lined up, and I think it started with the first one with Brandon Crawford, who won the offseason for the most part and was nice enough to do the first podcast we did. I would give you a warning, as Brandon does during the podcast and I did a couple times. Seriously, one of the reasons I wanted him first is because me and him are basically on the same wavelength as far as voice volume and inflection and all of that, and it works in the clubhouse. I think for a podcast, I should give you the heads up that maybe at points you might, I don't know, get a little tired or maybe have to turn the volume up a little bit. But there is good stuff in there, and Brandon talks about people's walk-up music, his walk-up music, some of the DJ stuff he does. I think you'll be surprised to find out what Ryan Vogelsong likes to listen to before games and surprised to find out what Madison Bumgarner likes. We also talked about his offseason and traveling with his family and really a bunch of stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you tune in. Again, maybe turn up the volume at times, but we're figuring this out as we go along. Here's the very first one. All right, Brandon, you're playing the morning after playing seven innings last night, so thank you for keeping our appointment here.
No problem.
And I guess this is the only way Bochy finds a way to hit you third or fourth, is if you have to play a day game after a night game.
I guess. It never seems to happen during the season, so I'll take it when I can get it.
There were two reasons I wanted to have you as the first guy. One is I don't really know what all these dials do, and I think there's a very, very decent chance that we're at least on the same wavelength, like volume-wise and all that. The second is you kind of won the offseason, so it's a good place to start. When that offseason started, which one of those did you anticipate? I know you knew you were going to have a son. I think probably.
I think I anticipated that one the most.
Had a pretty good idea about the gold glove, I would think. But did anything come as a surprise for you?
I wouldn't say I anticipated a gold glove. I mean, I was hopeful for one. I thought I had a good chance of at least finally being a finalist. And, you know, if you're in those final three, then, yeah, you have a good chance of winning. But I wouldn't say I was expecting that one. The Silver Slugger, looking at offensive numbers compared to the rest of National League shortstops, I thought there was a decent chance I could win that too. I was probably anticipating that about as much as a gold glove. So, I mean, I thought it could happen, but I wasn't sure if it would.
We've talked a little bit about this in the past, but how hard it is when a guy is an incumbent over and over again, a Simmons or an Arenado, or, you know, Buster's had this problem with Molina. It's just hard to knock him off. Was that something? I know a gold glove was something that was special to you. Is that something you kind of figured would make it harder, even if you had a good year?
I thought there was a chance, for sure. Like, I think Buster had a pretty good shot of winning it last year. Not that Yadi didn't deserve it, but I think sometimes coaches and managers may kind of go into that auto vote, like, where Yeah, he's won the past couple of years. He's a good defender. I guess I'll just vote for him again without maybe looking at numbers or thinking back to, okay, this guy actually was a really good defender this year. So I thought there was a chance that could happen. Simmons had another good year last year. Maybe not quite as good as his other ones, and maybe that's why I was able to sneak one in there.
Do you think the Sabre stuff helped you with I think the SDI or whatever they use had you right up there? Did you pay attention to that?
Helps me about 25%, yeah. I think.
When it came out there in September and you saw that, did you start to – I think you were leading when the last one came out. Did you start to think about
– I think I had a decent lead. It was 2 or 3 points or runs or whatever that calculation means. So I thought there was a good chance I would win that, which is a quarter of the vote. So I mean, if you can get a quarter of the vote right off the bat, I thought there was a decent chance I could win it.
This is good timing today because you're playing shortstop for the first time this spring. We're taping this on a Wednesday morning. What's kind of the – I've seen you last year doing the same thing with the shoulder. Is this going to be something that just you think going forward it's just a maintenance thing and just every spring coming in here and taking care of it? And
it could happen. I mean, I don't know what will happen in the next few spring trainings, but it was something that worked last year for me. My arm was bugging me a little bit coming into spring. Thought it was a good idea to kind of take it easy the first, I think it was a week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks of games, just to kind of limit the throws and make sure my arm was strong before I get into games. And we thought if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. It worked for me last year. My arm felt fine pretty much the whole year. So we might as well go with the same approach this year.
But you don't know if necessarily this is, I mean, you're signed now long term. You don't know if this is going to be something every spring that they deal with Sergio every spring and kind of making sure he just eases into it. Is this something you just touch and feel when you get out here?
I'm not getting any younger, and I see the older guys tend to, I think as Bochy puts it, slow play.
Yeah, it's been
spring
the
training
phrase of the last 3 weeks.
Right. So I mean, there's probably a good chance it'll happen. It's not too bad getting the first week or two of at bats through DH. DHing is not very fun, but I mean, if I'm going to be in the lineup and if I need to get at bats, it's a good way to do that and be able to limit my throws.
You know, Denard said that too. He's not a big fan of being the DH down here. What is it, aside from not playing in the field? I mean, there are times we saw you the other day, you're left stranded at the end of an inning. You sit next to Boach for 5 minutes. It worked out. You went and hit a homer. But what is it about being a DH, especially down here, that gets the guys?
There's nowhere to really warm up in between at-bats. At home, we have the cage where we can go down and take swings and do some running and stretching and stuff like that to kind of stay loose in between at-bats. When down here, you have to go through the right field fence, which I don't think anybody does, just to go take some swings and be able to run or anything like that. You can stretch in the clubhouse, but that's about it. So it's kind of hard to stay loose. And then just DHing in general, no matter where it's at, it's hard to kind of stay in the rhythm of the game and kind of get a feel for how the game's going. And it's a little bit harder to pay attention to maybe what the pitcher's doing and stuff like that also.
You mentioned getting older, which I don't like because I think 2 years older than you, and I have been since I got on the beat, obviously.
I don't think I'm old yet, but I'm just saying I have 6 more years.
I'll get older, and feel much older here, especially in that clubhouse now. But when you come in here, especially – you're essentially a lifetime Giant now for the most part. I think we don't know how long the career goes, but I know that the no trade was a big part of that deal for you. Is it different coming in here now just knowing that when these kids come in here, you are one of the guys like Buster who is signed for a long time and signed when almost everybody in that clubhouse, if they want to make it up here, you're going to be up here?
I don't think I feel any different. I haven't really thought about it, I guess, that much, but I don't think I feel a whole lot different. I mean, in previous years, I've always wanted for that to happen. I've always kind of expected that I would be here because, I don't know, growing up a Giants fan, I wanted to be a Giant and I couldn't really imagine playing for another team. So even before the contract, I kind of, I don't know if I thought or if I just hoped that that something like that would eventually happen.
Your agent, when we talked to him after your press conference, I think made it pretty clear how important that was to you, that the no trade part. Do you think mm-hmm. that gets done if that's not in there, or is it a more complicated?
I don't know. It would have taken a little more negotiating mm-hmm. for sure. I don't know where we would have been without that, but I'm definitely glad it's in there, and just we kind of know where our family is going to be for the next 6 years, and you know, the end of that 6 year gets me 10 years in the big leagues also. So that's kind of that was a goal to get to in the contract and along with the no trade.
I saw last night Braxton, I think, came out here for the first time or mm-hmm. first baseball game for him. And when you think about it, you obviously signed before he was born, but you had two daughters. How much of this is you want to be a Giant for life, and how much of it is you have girls who are going to be going to school and are going to be in kindergarten soon, and you want them in the same place, whether it's, you know, the Bay Area or Scottsdale, just not potentially having to deal with a trade or anything like that.
Baseball life is already crazy for the family. With me being gone for, it seems like half the year, and then the travel going back and forth between houses, it's already pretty crazy. So if we can keep a couple of things consistent, then that's a lot better for them. You know, they're waking up in one of two houses throughout the year, and then going to school, hopefully in one spot, once they get a little bit older. So, yeah, that is a big thing for us.
And they travel with you, I think, more than most kids do. And was that something you wanted to make an emphasis, just as much as they could?
Yeah,
you want them on the road.
It's something that Jalen, my wife, has actually been big on since we've had kids, and she says that the baseball career really isn't that long. Which, if you think about it, it really isn't. We only play for, like I said, if the end of this contract is my last year, it'll be 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's a really small time frame. So she wants the kids to be able to see and appreciate, you know, what dad does, and go out there and watch as many games as possible. And if that's going on the road, then she goes on the road. If it's just going to home games, then she brings them out there. So just she likes bringing the kids. It's fun for everybody. I like seeing them on road trips also.
Totally different kids topic, but I was watching some of them in the clubhouse just now, and kind of going back to that leadership thing, is this the best group of prospects you've seen come through here in your time? It seems like we saw it last night in that game. I mean, everybody who comes up here seems to have a pretty good idea at the plate, and obviously you haven't faced these guys, but everybody Bochy brings in seems to be throwing 95, 96. Right. You've now had, you know, half a decade of camps in here. How does this compare, especially in the infield? You have Christian Arroyo, Ryder Jones.
Right. Probably. I haven't been able to watch a whole lot of the pitchers yet so far, and only a few at-bats by the younger hitters. But, I mean, I saw Arroyo's home run last night.
Yeah.
That was impressive. It was a good at-bat. I think he got behind 0-2 and then worked the count and ended up getting a good pitch to hit. So he shows a real good approach to the plate, has a good swing. Kind of looks like Buster's a little bit to me. And he's still only 20 or 21, something like that. So he's still young and already looks good. So, I've heard all these things about guys throwing mid to upper 90s, all these young arms coming out of the bullpen. So I don't think we've really had that before. So I'd say it's probably the best group of young guys.
He does have a little Buster in him, especially when you watch him kind of run after that homer and the way he just – I think the demeanor a little bit. I think there's a little bit there with him. Moving on to my favorite topic with you, which is the music. And this is a good, you know, this is the first podcast. I think this is a good forum to get into some of that stuff that maybe doesn't come across as well in print or even on TV. We wouldn't have enough time. But I actually don't know the answer to this, even though we've talked a ton about the music, is how it became your responsibility. Did you take it? Did somebody hand it over to you? Was this a kind of Terrio suggestion?
I don't know when it officially became my job, but 2011, I don't think I played anything. I was just too worried about trying to be out there and play baseball to think about what I was doing in the clubhouse. There were a lot of veteran guys still there, so I don't even remember having any music in there sometimes. 2012 is probably when I started playing some more. And I think it was just because I have a lot of music on my phone. So it's readily available and we don't have to go on YouTube and find the song and play through like commercials and stuff like that on there.
I remember guys used to pull up a laptop in the clubhouse and just
there was a computer in there before hooked up to the stereo system.
Literally be on YouTube, somebody would be
right
finding the exact song they wanted.
And we'd have to listen to 15 seconds of a commercial sometimes. So I preferred being able to play from my phone. I have over 2,000 songs, I think, so of all different genres.
Yeah.
So I can kind of play to, well, I can play to most people's taste. PV, it's tough, and bum, sometimes it gets tough, but for the most part, I can play stuff that most of the guys will like, and I think that's kind of when it became my responsibility.
I know Mike Leake picked his walk-up song last year after a suggestion from you, but the starting pitchers do get to choose the music on the day that they pitch. Are there guys who have did Leake turn that over to you? Did anybody turn that over to you, or do they still, for the most part?
PV does his own. I can't play anything that, PV actually likes. So
he said that too.
I mean, he'll even tell me stuff that he likes sometimes, and I'll put it on when he pitches, and then he changes it anyway. So I mean, it doesn't really matter, I think, what I play on his days, but Bum, for the most part, doesn't care. Every once in a while, he'll have a request that I'll have to YouTube because I don't have the stuff that he listens to. But most guys don't really care a whole lot. There were certain songs that that Bogey liked that I would play every time he
kinda
pitched.
Angry stuff?
Surprisingly, no.
Really?
Yeah.
What would surprise us that was his?
Fancy by Iggy Azalea.
Bogey.
Loved that song. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I'm glad he's not here because I wouldn't want to have to walk up to his locker right now and ask him about it.
Yeah, and most days that he was pitching, he would let us know how much he liked that song, or that he wasn't pitching. He would let us know how much he liked that song. When he pitched, he kept a straight face, and I know inside he was singing
so
it probably.
So we now know what was getting him fired up to go out there and look like he wanted to kill somebody. It was Iggy Azalea.
Iggy Azalea. Insider information right there.
That's why we have a podcast now.
But yeah, most guys don't care, and they'll just play. They'll just tell me to play whatever, so I'll go around to maybe some other guys, ask what they're feeling that day, and throw something on.
There was a year when I think they had 8 Venezuelan guys in here. Did you have to get into? I know some of them, like Gregor yesterday was playing Latin music.
Right.
Did you
Bossing
have to
out of his locker
get into that? Or
I had some Latin songs. I still have a few.
Just take care of those guys.
Most of the time, I have to YouTube it if those guys are wanting something, and I'll try to mix it in sometimes.
So you have now you're the guy in there. I think you handle the victory mix, which I assume will be different this year.
Yeah, there will be a few different songs probably.
The BP
currently
mix,
being worked on.
Yeah. The batting practice mix. I saw Buster call over to you the other day and give you a thumbs up. And he seemed happy with it.
Yeah.
That was something that him and Hunter and some guys wanted.
Yeah. So the BP playlist that we've had in San Francisco for years, I think, is the exact same that it's
it
been.
Is.
Yeah, and it's not good.
Yeah,
I don't know who made it or who requested it, but it's not good. And then
somebody's
somehow
listening to this right now, just getting crushed.
It's, I mean, sorry.
Had to be said.
But had to be said. It did. And it was just as bad down here, if not worse. I think there was like slow country songs.
Well, WOTUS would take over down
here. I think
here
it was WOTUS. I think it was WOTUS. If it wasn't, I'm still going to blame
it. Or maybe Flan leftovers.
I don't know. Yeah, it could have been. I don't know. But I think it was WOTUS. And Buster and Hunter came up to me. I was walking out to the cage, and they were in the outfield. And they were saying, we need to do something about this. We're falling asleep during batting practice. We need something with a little edge. So me and Chad Chapp went back to my house that night and went through the over 2,000 songs that I had. I got a few new ones also. And put together a couple playlists. One called the Edgy Playlist, which is mostly rap. It a lot is of old school rap, stuff actually. Too. Some old school yeah. because it has more edge than the newer stuff. It does.
It does.
And guys like it more, for the most part. I know Bum actually, surprisingly, really? Likes the older like '90s rap than he does the new stuff. PV claims
Bum
to
liking
like
any
that
rap.
Also.
I think is
surprising.
Given
I know.
His fire on the mountain,
I know that it surprised me too. PV claims to like the old. Older school rap. He doesn't understand what the newer guys are saying. But then he plays his music.
Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Which nothing wrong with it. It's just not my style. A lot of San Francisco listeners, so.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
I've railed against Journey for like 4 years on Twitter, so I have I no ground you. To stand on here.
Journey's fine.
I don't either, but in 2013 when you guys were like 13 games out.
Yeah.
And it would be 8-1 in the eighth inning.
It's not fun to listen to in the eighth inning.
Yeah, it was a little.
No, it's not.
Let's move on. We'll pick it up again next April.
Oh yeah. So then the other playlist,
Sneaky Awesome,
the Sneaky Awesome playlist, which is actually the one Buster likes, has songs that that are sneaky awesome. Like you first hear it and you're like, oh come on, NSYNC, but then you're singing every word.
Well, it always starts with NSYNC and Backstreet Boys too.
That's not my choice. I tell him to put it on shuffle. It might be the DJ upstairs choice, which isn't bad. Because if you tell me you don't know the words to It's Tearing Up My Heart, then you're a liar.
No, you said that the first day when I walked in. That I had to walk away.
Right. Because you knew.
I did. You know what's been fun is, I don't know if you noticed this, but the fans who come in here, it tends to be a different group because people come down here for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people come down here and it turns on for the first time, you can kind of hear it going through the couple thousand people who show up to watch BP. Like
right.
These guys are hitting the Backstreet Boys today.
Right.
They haven't heard it before, so I think it surprises a lot of them.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it's a good playlist to listen to. There's new stuff that are popular songs, because I figured that would be a, you know, if they're popular songs, most people are going to like them. And then there's some older stuff that everybody knows the words to, and they're sneaky awesome.
I've always
the name.
It works. I've always thought walk-up music is really underutilized by most guys. I think guys pick a song and sometimes stick with it the whole year, and it seems like it would get old to them. I think closers stick a song and stick with it for years when I would constantly be trying to find something new, I think, to just make it interesting. You've changed your song quite a bit. There's a few other guys in there. Hunter will do it every once in a while. You guys have a ton of free time. How much is this something where you hear a song and go, this might be a good walk-up song, or a chunk of that? I know sometimes you have to pick out a Queen version of Queen 30 Seconds.
Yeah, like mine
this year.
Where I can't even say the
name.
It's
going to be difficult. Yeah.
I listen to a lot of music in the car on the drive to the stadium, or pretty much wherever I'm driving. If I'm by myself, I'm listening to music. So if I hear something there that I think could be a good walkout, then I might listen to it a few more times. And if I feel like using it, then I'll let the person know. A lot of times I'll look for one in the off season, because I try not to change them a whole lot during the season, because that means they're probably not working.
Yeah. It's kind of a slump buster sometimes. I know for Hunter it is.
If something's just, if I'm not getting a hit every time this song plays, it's getting changed. So I try not to do that a whole lot during the season. But sometimes it just has to happen. But I try to get at least one new one every year. If there's one I just really like, then I'll stick with it. That's kind of how it goes.
Do you hear other guys when you're out in the field? Do you appreciate the Freddie Freeman's of the world and the Charlie Blackman's of the world who do something different?
Definitely. Yeah, I think Tulo came out to Katy Perry and Justin Bieber 1 year too. Yeah, I hear it all.
Pretty good.
I hear it all.
So is there anybody that stands out across the league? I know Freeman did Call Me Maybe a couple years ago.
He did.
That was pretty strong.
He did. Can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
We'll ask you during the season.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
A new batch. You did last year, one of the highlights of September. We had all the Jarrett Parker's home run and you guys trying to chase down the Dodgers, and then we had game 162, your playlist that was very, I think, inside the clubhouse a little bit with a lot of guys. But yep. Did anybody come to you afterwards and either really like it or really, I can think of one guy who had a bad game out of the bullpen who might not have been thrilled.
Yeah, I don't know if he loved it. George had a rough ninth of that game.
It was a great start when he went out there.
It was funny. It'll probably never be used again because of what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a lot of comments on Twitter actually from fans that were at the game. And I think even fans that weren't at the game, because I think you tweeted the playlist.
I was live tweeting it at some point and figured it would be easier to
just do the whole thing.
Just get a playlist.
Makes sense. So there were a lot of comments from that also that I got on Twitter. There were a lot of guys that had comments about it during the game.
Did they know what was coming?
Whether they liked it or not. Yeah. A few guys knew it was coming. I don't think everybody did, though.
Buster, so I was paying attention because you gave me a heads up a couple days before, but you said pay attention. And I assumed it meant you were going to do something with yours and change it up. And Angel Pagan walks up right away and you realize something's going on.
Right.
But it was a little iffy until Buster walked up. And I think when Buster walks up to watch me, it became pretty clear. I wish you would have been in the press box for that to see. No offense to my fellow beat writers and columnists, but the confusion of a lot of people who were trying to figure out what exactly that music was.
That's right around where I thought people would kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they did.
You and Buster are close, I think. You're probably as close to him as anybody on this team. Do you have the power to change his walk-up song from the one he's been using for...
I've told him to pick a different one because he thought he was thinking about using a different one before. And I was like, yeah, that'd be a good one. You've been using yours for 100 years now, so you should probably mix it up. But it's been working for him, so you can't really tell him like, oh yeah, no, it didn't work this year. Remember, it's worked every year that he's been in the big leagues. So, so I understand why he hasn't.
I can see that. It'd be nice if all these guys switched it up.
Yeah,
every once in a while. Yeah. We hear that. What do you get? 250 at bats at home. Something like that.
Yeah, something
300.
Like that.
See if the same one. It gets a little repetitive. The last question I have, I'm going to ask everybody, and you're the first one to get it, but it's actually meant for Brandon Belt. But he's the inspiration, I guess. He has told us a couple times a phenomenal story about swimming in a dugout in the minors.
I was there
for
that.
Were you there for that?
I was there. Yeah.
So this actually happened?
Yeah.
And he survived.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
He
came back into the clubhouse wet, so I assume he did it.
Yeah, it's a good... rain out story for us every time something happens. But for you, what is a story from the minors, something whether it's goofy or memorable? I doubt you've ever gone swimming in.
No, I haven't.
I don't think many guys in there would do that.
No.
But is there any one you remember that stands out as something that's kind of like, that's it, this could only happen in the minors?
I wish I did, because stories like that are usually awesome. I can't think of one right now.
I think I have to give people a heads up.
Yeah.
There's one I thought of that's not it's completely different. It's Andy Skiles told me a story one time when he knew you were going to be good. When he said it was like 13-1 or something like that. It's ninth inning. I think it was in San Jose. And you went diving into a wall, I guess, down the third base line or to get a pop-up. Do you remember this? I know you have a pretty good recall for...
It might have been in Richmond. Did he say it was in San Jose?
It might have been Richmond.
I think it might have been Richmond.
I assumed it, because it was Andy. It was A-ball, but he might have been traveling.
I think it was in Richmond. Yeah, he managed Double-A in 2010.
That would have been.
So I think it was in Richmond. I'm pretty sure we were in Erie playing the Tigers Double-A affiliate. And there was like a rain out, or not a rain out, but a rain delay, like long rain delay. It was later in the game, and I don't think anybody wanted to be there, so neither did I. So I wanted to make the out. And it was, I think we were getting beat pretty good, and there was just like a flare pop-up down the left field line, and they have like a low brick wall out there, and I think I slid into it. I didn't dive.
Okay.
I wasn't pulling a Derek Jeter or anything like that, but, I mean, it's a nice sliding catch into a brick wall.
That's the play he always uses about your, I guess, sneaky competitive spirit. I know it's going to be a low tone podcast. People never see you.
People are going to be really bored.
People don't see you light up on the field necessarily, but right. He always uses that one. Well, thank you for doing the first one of these. I think it was appropriate for another reason. I've probably asked you more questions over the last 5 years than anybody right. else in here. So I'll probably be coming back at some point.
All right.
For another one. We'll get some in-season walk-up music.
All right. I'll be ready.
And hopefully after this one, people don't tune out forever. Hopefully they come back.
I don't know if they're still listening.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Because of our monotone.
This is not good gym listening music today. Well, we need Hunter if you're going to go to the gym. Or
right.
Hopefully this is people motivation on the drive speaker. Into work. So, all right. Thank you, Brandon.
All right. No problem.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over. Got him. And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.